Hello and welcome to Football Twaddle. In these times of corona and self-quarantine, we are sitting at home and we are going to record in self-isolation. I guess that's what it's called. And there's no football for the foreseeable future. So what we have decided is that we are going to talk about a few football personalities and see how their life and times have been. And I have our regular contributors to the podcast, Manav and Yash, with us. Guys, say hi.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, guys.
And today we are going to talk about the life and times of Brian Clough. All right. So, Manav and Yash, Manav, I would start with you. When was the first time you heard about Brian Clough?
It was actually, I think, just a few years back, maybe 7-8 years back, when someone recommended me the movie The Damned United. And that's when I watched the entire movie, and that's the time I got to know about Brian Clough.
All right. And Yash, you?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I mean, it's one of those classic football movies, so that was the introduction.
And so I, like, you know, Brian Clough died, like, all, I think when most of us started watching football, I think by the time he passed away in, like, what, 2004, if I'm not wrong?
Or something, yeah.
2004, yeah. So he passed away in 2004. I started watching a few years before that. I had just heard of him. But one of the things about Brian Clough is how he was quite savvy on TV. Manav, you already spoke about the Damned United. I think that would be a good place to start. As much as he's known for his time at Nottingham Forest and the successes they got there, before that, his time at Leeds was like a terrible time, and people were thinking whether is he really that good a manager or not after he had done so well with Derby. So let's talk a little bit about the movie and the book, which is based on The Damned United. What is it that you guys found the most interesting thing about Brian Clough's personality through the movie, of course, because that's what you guys have seen?
Okay, so the movie is, of course, based on history, but it's, his family were not too happy with either the movie or the book. It's highly fictionalized. So, but that apart, that is an introduction for Brian Clough for everyone. I mean, people who love football would really want to read up about him because he was a pioneer of sorts. And what shines through the book for me is the way he told his the Leeds players. I mean, Leeds were big rivals of Derby.
Yeah.
He told those players, there's that famous scene where he tells all of them to throw their England caps
in
the dustbin. So, one has to understand, this was a time when tough tackling was allowed. You could literally, almost get away with murder on the pitch, which is not the way he wanted to play football. So that way he was quite a visionary that he didn't like. I mean, Leeds were called dirty, dirty Leeds, and they used a lot of tactics. They were very rough in their tackling and physically roughed up. So, which eventually moved out of the game because everyone realized that it's better. I mean, football is much better when it's entertaining and passing and other aspects of the game apart from tackling is what really makes it interesting.
Manav, just picking up on that before, look, this whole dirty, dirty Leeds thing, I didn't even realize this. Like, when you start watching, I thought the biggest rivals of United were City, which they still are. But I didn't know Manchester United and Leeds United had such a big rivalry. And that's when I started, I think, one of the matches I was watching in Old Trafford. And that time Leeds were in the Premier League. And I heard this whole dirty, dirty Leeds. And I was like, oh God, what is this? And then I just read back a little. So, like, you know, Brian Clough was right. Like, he was a visionary in that way, right? He knew this dirty tackling was not a way to please anyone.
Yeah, I think he was known. He was quite famous and he used to quite follow the possession football rule, attractive football with probably, the centre-backs in sort of a more aggressive positions and aggressive football they used to play. So he was an advocate of such kind of football. And continuing what Yash said in his first interaction with the Derby players as part of the, which we saw in the movie also, he says that you can put all your medals and all into the biggest dustbin you can find because you have won none of them fairly. And he said a similar thing in a press conference just before meeting the players as well. So that was a very different sort of thing. You don't experience such things in today's time, at least. And of course, he was a very controversial manager.
I can think of one manager who would say that even in today's times. He'll probably say it tomorrow also.
yeah. We all know who that one manager is.
Yeah. So, I mean, just as a side note, you know, when obviously Mourinho...
So, what we have realized is that guy is like really good with handling press and all. In the beginning, at least, it's just that with time, his performances and everything keeps on deteriorating. He starts blaming the players. But this guy, just on the first day itself, before even meeting the team, he does that press conference. So, yeah, that was a bit surprising for me.
One thing we need to realize is that, you know, Brian Clough had a huge playing career. He almost played for, like, you know, he played for almost 9 years football, even before, like, getting on to management. And if you look at it, he obviously played for Middlesbrough and Sunderland.
Yeah.
But if you look at his stats... 274 appearances and 251 goals. That is up there with almost anyone in the game even now. So, he was quite a good player as well.
Yeah, I think it's 274 starts and not 274 appearances. But yeah, he's got one of the best records in terms of his goal scoring. I think, but despite that, he just had two caps for England.
But
then, of course, that ACL happened to him, I think, when he was around 30 and he had to, like, end his footballing career, playing career at that point of time.
I just wanted to say that, those stats are pretty good, but we must remember that he played in the second division. Of course, back then, the gulf between the second division and the first division was not the same as the Championship and the Premier League now. And again, his England caps came in 1959 after England and United were, of course, gutted... in the Munich disaster.
Yes, sir.
Those England caps, I think, really flatter him, and the stats, like, so honestly, the assessment, the general assessment people have about Clough is that he was an unfulfilled player because of his health issues and injuries, which sort of drove him towards becoming the manager that he was, that he felt that he hadn't reached his potential because of all these issues. And now, I mean, even if his body was not giving him support in the sport, he used his mind to achieve all those things he wanted to achieve as a player.
Yeah, this whole thing about, you know, him and England, either playing for England or managing England, I think that basically drove him to really want to manage England. And we'll cover this, you know, in a little bit later in the podcast. But him not being able to manage England almost shattered him, right? And that it seems like it was a very big desire of his to manage England, and he just could not do it. All right. So let's talk about he's retired and because of injury. And unlike a few people who think getting the top job is the easiest one, Clough chose the hard road. He said for being a manager, you need to learn management. And he took Peter Taylor with him. He and Peter Taylor took a manager's job at Hartlepool United with the fourth division.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And from then on, they moved to second division Derby. So anyone, and I think Clough famously said that if you want to be a manager at a top club, you need to be an apprentice or you need to learn your trade elsewhere, and only then you will deserve the job there. So obviously, Clough knew something about learning in the lower divisions than what players probably these days think it's not required.
Yeah. I think, as we discussed, I think Peter Taylor had a big role to play. Like, they were very good, solid partnership together. They formed a solid partnership together. And, yeah, of course, it didn't go as planned and it didn't end well in the end towards the latter years of their career, respectively.
They were big personalities, right, both of them. So, they're bound to clash at some point.
Dude, they clashed so much later. But then once they clashed, they didn't speak to each other, like, ever.
Yeah.
And there's a documentary in which Brian Clough's wife said, she pretty much says, both are such big babies and they should have just, like, spoken and gotten together. So let's get to Derby. And this is like a recurring theme in Brian Clough's career, where he takes a second division team and he wins as a champion. And the next year is crowned as the champion of England. And with Derby as well, they reached the semi-final of the European Cup, right? So, as much as we talk about the Nottingham Forest part of Brian Clough's career and celebrate it, we shouldn't really forget on what a big champion he was with Derby, taking a second club team and then just blowing it up.
Yes, there's a quote by the great Bill Shankly. He said he took a cow shed and turned it into a football club, referring to Derby. And I mean, to put things into perspective, this was much, I mean, I wouldn't say much bigger, but it's almost as big an achievement as Leicester doing it 4 years ago. Because this was a period when Liverpool were great and a bunch of, I mean, Liverpool were not in their pomp, but there were a bunch of pretty good teams around. Leeds were good, Liverpool were good. So doing it in this era with the players he had, because if you hear the names of the players he played with, though these players are not really the superstar players that who made a name for themselves in history.
And oh, yeah.
So he had a different, I mean, his personality really shone through in the Derby. I mean, I was reading up that this was the time when TV really exploded in England. And as a manager, he used to do shows. And the impact was crazy. Like the viewers on TV were not used to like a football manager going on interviews and saying things, things he did. I mean, you just spoke about the European Cup where they reached the semis and lost to Juventus. Now, the typical Catenaccio type game where they were physical and cynical. And in the post-match, when he came out, he berated them, called them cowards, and also spoke about how Italians were cowardly in the Second World War, which was, of course, ongoing memory back then, which was, I mean, really uncalled for, but it gives you a peek into his personality about how entertaining he was and unhinged.
He was literally the first TV manager, if you actually look at it, right? He basically used to go on a Sunday show and he used to talk about everyone. So it's not like he used to only talk about his team and his team's performance. He used to pretty much talk about everyone, and it became so entertaining that people used to tune in on Sunday only to see Brian Clough talk about some club and everything. He was that big a personality. And
Don Revie in particular.
Don Revie. Manav, we need to get to that. So because, you know, this whole thing happened, he's obviously champions with Derby and they win and all of that. And obviously because of his increased media profile, he has a falling out with the chairman of Derby and he resigns. And let's not talk about his Brighton stump. But one of the things is he had an issue with Don Revie.
Yeah.
And he basically said that Don Revie should be fined for encouraging their players for unsporting behavior and Leeds should be relegated to second division. So, I mean, his fight with Don Revie, and Don Revie is not a small personality. He was the champion, right? So it's not like you're fighting with some regular guy. You're actually fighting with one of the champions of the country. I can't imagine, let's say, Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp just asking for the other team to be put into second division because they play unsporting football or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it is shown very nicely in the movie as well. Like, he's a second division manager. I think at that time they were 17th or 18th in the table of the second division. And so these things probably we don't realize because we follow just the top division teams. But how much does it mean for a second division team to draw a top team in a cup game? And how much revenues is it going to bring? How much fan following is it going to bring? And all those things shown very nicely in the movie. And then when Don Revie doesn't probably shake his hand or doesn't meet him for a drink after the game. So he takes motivation from that fact and ends up beating Don Revie in a couple of seasons' time.
Yeah. So yes, let's get to this. Why do you think he hated Don Revie?
He was a completely contrasting personality. That's number one. And he sort of represented the old school. Like, if you even see Don Revie's interviews today, he pretty much seemed like an olden days football manager, while Clough represented like a newer, fresher, more aggressive type of a person. And at the same time, of course, they were poles apart in their footballing philosophies. I mean, you spoke about Pep and Klopp, but we recently, like just before football got shut down, we saw a little bit of echo in that, where Klopp was lamenting why Atletico played defensive when they have players like Coquinho. But, you know, in this case, the gulf between a Derby and Leeds is too much. I mean, back then, the resources that Leeds had at their disposal and Derby had, Leeds are at multiple levels. So that was probably a major reason why Clough really did not have as much admiration for Don Revie.
If you actually look at one more thing, people obviously none of us realize it these days, but Leeds United was a huge club in the 70s. Yes. And obviously some of it was revived in the late 90s and early 2000s, but we can't even really fathom how big Leeds were. So when a derby which moved from second division to beat Leeds, that is like, I don't know, what is it comparable to now? Charlton Athletic beating Manchester City?
Yeah, or something like Sheffield United, who just got promoted this year. And they is finishing like fourth or fifth in that very first season, something like that. He did it with Nottingham later on, that he got promoted and he won the league in the same year.
Cool. So this is the thing. So after 44 days at Leeds, where obviously, I mean, things had to end badly. There is no way on earth it would go on, given if you don't tell the champions to throw their medals in the bins on the first day and say they've been playing shit football and no one really respects them. And obviously they had this massive connection to Don Revie as well, and they fight. But have you guys seen the press conference or the interview in which both Brian Clough and Don Revie were there in England?
Imagine
that is the day when he got sacked.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, probably something that will never happen today, that you have a ex-manager who's a manager of England now in the same interview as, you know, the guy who's taken over and has got sacked. This was television gold, obviously. Saw them clashing. And I mean, what really summed it up was Clough saying, I know you won last year, but I want to win it better. And Don Revie says, winning is winning. There's no winning better.
Yeah, but actually, Clough goes on to say, surely you would understand that, Don, that I want to win it better and you won it last year. I want to win it and win it better. Surely you as a manager would understand it. I think he's just amazed at how dismissive Don Revie is at what Brian Clough was actually trying to do.
Yeah, and he thinks, how can Don Revie live with himself after winning the leagues and everything in such a manner? And he also says in that interview, let's see where we are in a 5 years' time or 1 year time. And then, well,
so let's start with the 5 years' time. And in 5 years' time, approximately, Mr. Brian Clough, after moving from here to Brighton, from Derby, then Leeds to Brighton, everything, he ends up at Nottingham Forest. Yeah. And at Nottingham Forest, he had John McGovern, which is a name I think a few people must have heard. Mm-hmm. And obviously, he just goes on to create magic again. And a big reason, again, yes, as you pointed out, is that Peter Taylor rejoined Brian Clough. I think Peter Taylor had moved to Brighton and then he joined Brian Clough at Nottingham Forest. And Peter Taylor, we have to mention, his main art was able to identify players who will fit the team and get them. And I think he's had so much success in that.
I think he was a brilliant scout and a perfect right hand any manager could have asked for.
So Nottingham is another Midlands club. Derby was another Midlands club. Now, in England, the powerhouses of football were generally based in Lancashire or London. It's a different scale to his success. It really brings a different scale to his success. Like, these were not football hotbeds, but it really showed his depth in management and the fact that talent can come from anywhere, and you really did not need to be an institution to have success.
Yeah, and I think that is the greatness of the duo and Brian Clough in general, that he took regular clubs and to make them these powerhouses. And Brian Clough also did not mince spending money. He bought Trevor Francis from Birmingham. It's the first ever $1 million transfer in the English game. And I think before that, I had learned this obviously for a quiz, that Johan Cruyff was the first ever million dollar transfer. So this is a £1 million transfer, the first time in the English game. And that side went on to beat FC Köln in the semi-final. Have you guys seen the clippings of that match?
Not me.
So the first leg, obviously, I think FC Köln basically, I think it was a 2-2, I think, in the first leg. And in the second leg, they went away and Nottingham went 1-0. Gunter Netzer basically says, who is this John McGovern guy? I've never heard of him. And he ran the game.
Talking about some random Scottish.
Yeah, John McGovern. Anyway, so it's a question for both of you. Who did Nottingham Forest beat in the final in 1979 European Cup?
Oh, I know this.
I know this.
Malamo. Okay, then you... It is so much fun. I have a feeling that European Cup was so much fun then. We don't see the usual final stuff.
I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but do you know who the manager of Malmo was? I mean,
then?
It was Bob Houghton, the former India coach.
What? Really?
I'm just checking it. Like, he definitely managed Malmo and I think he managed them.
Yep. I am reading on the Wikipedia, much of the success in the 70s was due to new tactics and training methods brought to the club by Bob Houghton, who managed the club between 74. Oh, God, man, I didn't know this.
So Bob Houghton.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Bob Houghton, if you listen to almost any interview with Novi Kapadia on the state of football and everything, he worships at the altar of Bob Houghton. He said that, like, we did a mistake by basically firing Bob Houghton. And he was a guy who understood how Indians play football, the power structures and everything. So as much as we'd like to dismiss it, I think Bob Houghton probably like deserves a lot of credit for being a good manager, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah. And we've got our Indian connection to club. I mean, he won. Indian coach.
Oh, yeah. So, and there's one more easy question, Manav, this is to you. What is the greatest name to come out of Malmo ever in terms of football, obviously?
Is it Solskjaer?
No.
No, it's a Swedish club. Must be, I think, Zlatan.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah.
And he caused a controversy recently by buying a stake in a club which is fierce rivals of Malmo. Dude. Anyway, so getting back to this. One more question. They win one European League and then the next year they again win the league and they again win the European League as well. And this time, you know who they play? I think in the final they play Hamburg, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, it was Hamburg. Who had defeated Real Madrid in semi-final? Hamburg had defeated Real Madrid.
Yes, but you know who played for that Hamburg team? Another very famous name from England played in that Hamburg team.
Kevin Keegan.
And I think he was a European Player of the Year as well, right? One of those years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when Liverpool won, he was the European Player of the Year.
Yeah, so that was obviously the highlight of this guy, Brian Clough's career. Where do you think, Yash, it went down from there? Like, he managed Nottingham Forest for quite some time after that. Obviously not getting all the success.
I think a couple of things went wrong. Firstly, again, like we mentioned, Nottingham Forest was like a very small club. So and after all the success he had, it became a selling club. It sold all those players. I mean, the $1 million transfer is sort of deceptive about, they held a record, but that could mislead anyone who reads about it, that they were throwing around money they want. Like, the moment they got success, they dismantled their team. And Clough was very vocal about him not being happy about it. But still, he managed to get the new boys to, the top four or equivalent, the top half of the league. And of course, as we mentioned before, he fell out with Peter Taylor. It was around this time when he started drinking a lot. So it's the mid-80s that it's really started.
I mean, do you know why was there a fallout with Peter Taylor? I don't think they have it, like, is there a reason for it? Because I tried reading up about it while like trying to prep for this podcast.
Yeah, even
but I didn't find anything.
I mean, they probably both took the reason to their graves. So, or the families are not opening up about it. I mean, I couldn't find the reason either.
Same.
Yeah. And Manav, do you know who else played for Nottingham Forest under Brian Clough?
Peter Shilton
is all right, but it is a much more famous name. I thought you would identify with that person much more. He's a Manchester United legend.
Who are you talking about?
Roy Keane. So do you think Roy Keane's mannerisms are derived from how Brian Clough used to like whoop his ass in the training at Nottingham Forest?
Probably, yeah. Well, I'm not surprised.
There's a very famous story about how he punched Keane in his guts when Keane was like just 21 years old and stuff, because he was upset with him.
Really? So Roy Keane started upsetting people at that young age as well. Achha, so I'm in Team Patrick any day, so whatever. I mean, I shouldn't be saying this, but I genuinely don't like Roy Keane. I think there is a streak of vindictiveness in that person, and we can obviously talk about it in some other episode. But didn't he like remember some guy basically yelling at him for faking an injury, and after 3 years going and like trying to break his legs?
Haaland.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, coming back to it, if someone who, let's say, okay, this is the almost the final question. But if someone has to like start watching football now, or if someone starts watching football now, obviously he wouldn't know anything. What are the two things about Brian Clough, Yash, that they should remember?
Firstly, playing football right away. I mean, I know that's a very typical thing to say, but he really was a pioneer in that sense. That is one thing. And second is being yourself. I mean, he said in that famous interview where he's like, yeah, I could... my family asked me to be a little mellow or whatever, but I want to be me.
Yeah. And Manav, Brian Clough, the TV personality, has so many famous quotes. What's your most famous quote which you like of Brian Clough?
I think when he won the league with Derby County, and the journalist asked him, do you consider yourself to be the best manager in the country? And he replies, I wouldn't say I was the best manager in the country, but I'm in the top one. So that's, I think, as Yash said, believe in yourself, and that's the way to move forward. And I think one of the very prominent things and what he used to preach in football is that having the right players and the players performing at their best level is more important than having tactics for each and every game. We see when he goes to Leeds, and people are expecting that he would have a file prepared on the opponent, and he would have a detailed review and how are the team going to play in that particular match. He was an advocate of players playing the right way than depending on tactics too much. I think that is what separates him from the rest.
I think that is football then was what it was. I think if that is the... You can't do that these days. That's the reality of it. And I think most teams would just find you out very easily. But he played with the times, and good for him. Yeah, all right, guys. Thanks a lot very much for joining in.
Thank you.
Please follow us at @FootyTwaddle. Instagram, Facebook is FootballTwaddle. And those were the life and times of Brian Clough. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.